I want to continue now with some thoughts inspired by the writings of John Owen. And this starts in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. In verse 5, the author writes, "Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" It wasn't until I read Owen that I really saw how intimately connected is the prohibition against covetousness, loving money, and the command to be content with what follows, the command that God will never forsake us. That's one of the things we want to look at. Now, in the fifth verse, he gives the command that we are to be content and not love money, and he bases it on a promise from the Old Testament. It's a quote from a promise to Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 5. And it says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's God speaking. Then in the sixth verse, he says, here's what we can confidently conclude from that promise from Joshua. And this is the quote from David, which was several centuries after the time of Joshua. And he quotes David from the Psalms, saying, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So he takes these two passages from the Old Testament and applies them to the New Testament believers today on the basis of one promise from the time of Joshua. David concluded something in his own time. And the author here takes that conclusion of David and says, now we can also confidently apply it and believe something. So it's a great teaching. It shows us that the intention of the Holy Spirit here is that even though this is a promise to a particular person in a particular situation, Joshua, a general of armies going in to conquer a land, our circumstances are not anywhere near like that. And yet, the Spirit of God wants us to understand that believers of all generations may and should, they are warranted to apply these great promises to the specific situations that we face. And from the promise given in Joshua's time and then David's use of it, it is here applied to those current New Testament believers at the time of this writing, and then it applies to us. That's one of the things we'll look at. But first, let's look what precedes it, where he says, keep your life free from the love of money, being content with what you have. This is a command. He commands us to be content with what God has given us. And he's basically saying that the love of money for the Christian, it's needless. This desire to pursue what the whole world is going after is needless for a Christian. And a Christian should be content with what God will give them. And on what basis is that true? God does not promise that he's going to give us all of the worldly things that we desire. He's not going to give us all of the money that we will desire. But he does promise that he himself will be with us as an all-sufficient source for all that we need. So we have here a great pattern and an example for applying Old Testament promises to every believer today and throughout history. It's expressed in a negative way that God will never forsake us. But it also includes a positive blessings. Those whom God has promised not to forsake are assured of his continual presence and help. His continual presence will prevent believers from forsaking him. So we have a promise that God will never forsake us. and a promise that by his continual presence and the help that he will give us, we will never forsake him. Because someone could say, okay, God has promised that he won't forsake us, but does that mean that we can go out and commit any kind of sin and then he's going to remain faithful to us even though we just live in a path, a course of life in sin? No, it doesn't mean that. Because God will, for the true believer, God will keep them from falling into such sins as would cause him to forsake them. He will not let that happen. 1 Peter 1 verse 5 shows this and states it in a little different way. Peter here is talking about those who have been born again. We see that in verse 3. And in verse 5 he says, those of you who have been born again, you who are by God's power, you are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So those who are born again, their faith, through their faith, their salvation is guarded by God's power. And he does that by giving us all that we need. And he will protect us from the temptations that would cause us to forsake him. And one of the greatest things that can draw us away from God, of course, is the love of worldly things. But here we have the truth that the salvation of those who have been born again will be protected by God's power. He will not let our faith fail. He will not let us fall into such a love for the world that we completely turn away from him. There is this continual promise of God's presence and his love and his mercy. Now, by loving worldly things, that does turn us away from God. You think of the rich young ruler in Matthew who wanted to inherit eternal life, but because of his riches, he turned away and was not willing to forsake them for God. To keep from forsaking God, we must be content with what we have, with what God, with the earthly enjoyments that God gives us at any particular time. If we are not content, then we will be covetous and will go after things that can pull us away from God. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. What these verses in 1 Timothy say about the love of money are breathtaking. They are staggering, and they show how very serious this is. And for Christians in America who have so much wealth, we need to take the warnings here very, very much to heart. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, he says, those who desire to be rich, not just those who are rich, but those who desire it, those who love money, those who are covetous, those who are not content, they will fall into temptation, into a snare. A snare is something you're going along, you don't expect it, and all of a sudden you're caught. Those who desire to be rich will fall into many senseless and harmful desires. The love of the world to an inordinate degree debases the mind and draws us into senseless anxieties, senseless desires, that, as it says here, it plunges people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. Covetousness, not being content with what God wants for us and gives us, leads to all kinds of temptations and evils in our lives. It continues, it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs or many sorrows. So where there is this tremendous, great danger that this warns us of, that if we love money, if we love the things of the world and crave that, without even realizing it, we can be snared and we can wander away from the faith and forsake God. Now, God assures us that for a true believer, He will not let this love of money be so out of control that it leads them to commit sins that would just make them utterly forsake God. He won't let that happen. But the way he does that is through our efforts. It doesn't mean we can just sit back and do nothing. In the 11th verse, Paul continues, and he says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things." Verse 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life." So to take hold of eternal life, we must fight the fight of faith, and we need to flee the love of money that can draw us away from the faith, that can make us forsake God. We know that he's, in these verses of fleeing and fighting, he's talking about this love of money, because down in verse 17, he goes back to that subject. In 1 Timothy 6:17, he says, "As for the rich in this present age," and this certainly applies to so many of us in America, "charge them not to be haughty or proud or self-dependent," just not even looking to God, "nor to set their hopes on riches and the uncertainty of riches, but on God." It is such a prevalent desire in the fallen human heart that when we have an abundance of worldly things, we have anxieties about losing them, and we begin to just depend on them for our security, for our enjoyment, for everything. But we are to be admonished, if we have riches, to set our hopes on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. The rich are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. To take hold of that which is truly life, we must be vigilant and on our guard against what the love of riches can do to us. Now, as I said, God will keep the true believer from such a love of money that it would just corrupt his relationship to God totally. But that's what the love of riches does. That's what covetousness does. It corrupts man's relationship to God totally. The perplexing anxieties and the senseless desires of this lead people to forsake God. And that's what he says in Hebrews, that he will not forsake us, and he will not let us forsake him. But he does it by the means of, he preserves us from this by believers being diligent in obedience. The means by which God preserves believers from a ruinous love of worldly things is diligence in obedience. God promises to guard and protect our faith, but we must flee these temptations. We must flee these hidden snares. We must fight the good fight and not let this love of riches captivate our hearts. Because if you do, before you know it, the love of money can just overtake you and just destroy your Christian life. So we are commanded to be content with whatever earthly enjoyments God gives us at any time in our lives. Covetousness is a wrong, out of control desire for more riches than God allows for us. And it comes from valuing and loving them too highly. Loving them beyond what God intended. Loving them beyond their true worth. And trying to derive a satisfaction and a enjoyment that they cannot give, no matter how much we possess of them. The only thing that can make us happy, content, and satisfied is the continual presence of God in our lives. And that, we realize that, we are aware of that only by faith. And because our faith is going to be imperfect in this life, so our sense of the presence of God is going to be imperfect. So there will be times when even the best true believer might be tempted just to love the world, that temptation will be there every day. But we must fight that good fight every day. We must flee the temptations every day. If we don't flee the temptations, we'll soon be snared by them. Look at Colossians chapter 3 for one more verse about how God looks at this desire for the love of riches. And as that one verse said, God has given us all good things that we are to enjoy them, but not to let them come to the point where we love them more than God. In Colossians 3, verse 5, he says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, or greed, or the love of money, or the love of riches, which is idolatry." This love of riches, this covetousness in the human heart, is such an abominable evil that Paul says the only thing that I can call it is idolatry, which is a virtual rejection of God himself. Idolatry is a forsaking of God. It's a turning away from God. And God does, of course, does not want that to happen in our lives. And he will protect us, but he will do it as we put to death these kinds of wrong desires. In verse 6, it says, "It is on account of these things that the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away." We can just so easily, just because we have so much in this country, and it naturally turns our hearts to love the things of the world, and we cannot realize just how desperately dangerous that love is. If the love of the world is in us, the love of God is not, it says in 1 John. So contentment, back in the verse in Timothy, it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Contentment will prevent us from complaining at God's providential ordering of our lives. And that, what God brings into the lives of believers, can vary greatly. He will let some have more riches than others. Some will have greater suffering and trials than others. But contentment, no matter how much we have or do not have, contentment that's based on an assurance of the presence of God and knowing that he's going to provide all that we need, this will protect us from complaining of God's sovereign providential ordering of our lives. It will also protect us from the envy of others. That's those who don't have very much. They can envy others. It will also protect us, if we do have a lot of riches, from being proud and having contempt for those who have less. And that is certainly a sin that all throughout the ages has plagued the world. Those who have more money look down on and have contempt for those who have less or have little. In a Christian, that should never be. Contentment depends on the presence of God. It is the only thing that can remove fear and anxiety from our lives. And the promise of God to Joshua was that he would be with him. And down throughout the Bible, we see that great promise again and again. That's the essential promise God has given. And we have the same need for God's presence and help as Joshua did. Our circumstances are going to vary greatly. Not too many of us are generals going in to conquer anything. But our faith needs the same support, the same foundation as the faith of Joshua and David and those New Testament believers in the time of the writing of the Hebrews, this letter. And in giving the promise to Joshua that God would never leave him, God for all time is declaring how he will deal with all believers. Faith needs the same foundation and encouragement always. And though our situations will vary, the foundation of God's promises remains the same. The promises in the Bible are statements of what God will do for his people, for those he loves. And behind those promises, the grace of God, the love of God, and his mercy all remain the same. We'll continue with this thought next time.